Brothers and sisters, please take out your copies of God's Word at this time and turn to Luke chapter 14. We'll be looking once again at verses 25 to 35. That's our passage for today. God's Word to us. Again, that's Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35. Beginning in 25, verse 25, the Lord says this. Now great multitudes were going along with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he's laid a foundation, he's not able to finish. All who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or, what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions. Therefore, salt is good. But even if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It's useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we've come before you today to worship you, to make much of you. And Lord, a very big part of worship is always coming under your word in order to serve you as you call, in order to receive what you say. And Father, I pray that we would be able to receive your word today. You even declare, if anyone has ears to hear, Lord, you've got to give us the ears. And so, Father, I pray that you would do that, that you would give us all the ability to not just hear physically, but to hear with our hearts and minds what's true, what you say, not what we think or believe, but what do you say, and Lord, what then do you recall for us in response? So I pray with your word that you would do what you always do. It will never return to you void. It will always accomplish the purpose for which you send it out. And I pray, Lord, that you would send it out today with the purposes of, oh, Lord, encouraging and building up those who are your disciples. Build up the brethren and build up the body of Christ through encouraging them with your word of truth. I pray you would accomplish a purpose of continuing to sanctify your people, Lord. It's your people, you're always setting us apart to be holy. That's apart from the world and the things of the world. Oh, we're more and more like you, and we give the taste of Jesus wherever we go. Oh, Father, accomplish that in us, your people. And Father, I also pray that you would accomplish the purpose of grace. If there are those here who do not know you, may you give them the ears to hear for the first time and give them the faith that's required. As you declare here, it requires a real and sincere and true faith in Christ. Otherwise, we can't be. We'll start and we'll turn away. So, oh, Father, may you give by grace real faith here today to those who have never known you. And may your light shine where it needs to, where there may be deception. There may be things not known. May you, as you know all things, reveal as whatever needs to be revealed. We don't know, but you do. And so we rely upon you for all of that. That you would speak to hearts exactly as each heart needs, for their good and for your glory. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, if you were here with us last week, you know that we're actually returning to a passage that I started in last week. And as I spoke about then, this is a very important passage. Because in it we have given to us by Jesus himself. We're given to us his requirements for discipleship. It says very clearly, you cannot be my disciple without these things being true. And as I pointed out then, discipleship's the same thing as being a Christian. I highlight that because some people try to separate that, like there's two levels. You're either a disciple of Jesus or you're not. And so we're talking about being a Christian here. As he gives some pretty clear calls, pretty clear requirements to be his disciple. And as I said, they're clear. You know, they're very straightforward statements, but they're also can be very hard or extreme in some eyes, right? It's almost like some people look at this and go, well, is Jesus really trying to get people to follow him, or is he discouraging them? Is he calling them to turn away? Because these are very hard things. Now, as I spoke about last week, we know Jesus never turns anyone who sincerely desires to follow him and come after him. He will never cast out anyone who comes to him. He will in no wise turn them away. So we know that's not true if there's sincerity. So what's he doing? Well, he is discouraging here. He's discouraging those who would have a shallow, superficial, false faith. That's what Jesus is doing here. Notice there's crowds and multitudes always around Jesus. They love being around Jesus, but they're not sincere about following him wherever he would go. And so he is calling this out in order to discourage the false superficial faith so that only the true disciples would respond. So he's laying out ahead of time, right? What's required when you follow Jesus? Jesus is going to take you hard places, right? And so it's true that unless you do these, you can't follow him. And the reason is just impossible. You won't have the ability unless these things are true. And so that's what Jesus is doing here. Now, as I spoke about last week, I said as we go through this, I think there's like four requirements we can see here clearly that Jesus gives us in order to be his disciple. And last week we only got to one, which was that you must renounce all former allegiances. In other words, you've got to renounce all your relationships, all those that we tend to love in this life, right? Jesus said you got to hate them, basically what he said. And what I spoke about is what Jesus means is you've got to love him so much more than any other relationship you have in this world. Because if you don't, when God brings you to that place, when you're following Jesus and you have to choose Jesus or them, you'll choose them every time because we always choose our greatest love. And so if we don't renounce all other former relationships in light of who Christ is and our love for him, we will not be able to follow him. We cannot. Jesus is speaking the truth here. Now, that brings us to our task for the day and to look at these other three requirements, and that's what we're going to do as we go through the rest of our passage. I want to look at these other three requirements that Jesus himself says. Again, this is Jesus' words, they're not mine. Jesus is the one that says, he makes these absolute statements, right? If you don't do this, you cannot be my disciple. So this is the word of God, not mine. So let's begin by looking at the second one overall, and the first one today is this. We must renounce all rights and desires for ourselves. We must renounce all rights and desires for ourselves. Look at verse 27. That's where we'll pick up. We only got through verse 26 last time. Again, here you see Jesus makes another absolute statement. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And the fact that he says that you cannot be is the absolute part of it, right? It's like it's one or the other. Either this is true or it's not. And if it's not true, if this is not the kind of faith you have, then you cannot be his disciple and follow after him. And what's the condition? Well, it's that we must carry our own cross. What does that mean? Well, it probably helps to understand that the cross is an instrument of death. It was the instrument of choice by the Roman Empire by which they would execute those they would deem as criminals worthy of death. It's also probably important to remember that it was not a painless death that a cross would bring, but it would bring great suffering as one went to death. And Jesus himself, when he asked or calls for, if anyone wants to come after him, they have to carry their own cross, he knew full well what he was talking about. As he himself carried his own cross, didn't he? Jesus carried the very instrument by which he would be put to death. As he willingly went and laid down his life was never his own. It was always the Father's, to do with exactly as he pleased. And the end of that which he pleased, was pleased to have the Son do, was to lay down his life on that cross and to literally die in place of the sinner. That's what he was doing. He was taking on the sins of all those who would believe on him when he went to that cross and died, and then rose again 3 days later to show that he had accomplished that great work, paid for the sins of those who would believe on him, had conquered death, and that we, through him, if we believe on him, could have eternal life. This is what Jesus was doing. He knew full well what the cross was. And so it's in light of that that he says, if you want to be my disciple, you got to follow me by taking your own cross. So what he means is you've got to pick up this instrument of death and you got to die. If you're going to be Jesus' disciple, you must die. Die to what? Die to self. Die to self-plans. Die to self-desires. Die to self-will. Die to self-preservation. Die to self-defense. Self's got to die. And the reason that this must be is because if self is not dead, you will not be able to follow Jesus. It's the same reason as last week. You're going to come to a place, right? Jesus is going to take you where you got to choose him or you. And if you're not dead, if you are your greatest love, you will always choose you. We always choose our greatest love. And so if we're really going to be able to follow Jesus, who's going to take us hard places, hopefully he's going to take us to heaven and we're going to get eternal life. He is the source of life. He's the life, source of life then and now, actually. But if for that to be true, we have to die. Now, I guess the most literal and clear example of that is that sometimes he calls for his disciples to literally go to the death for him. He requires it of some, of many. You know, just leaking back up into the end of verse 26 again that we saw last week, Jesus talked about you got to hate not only father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, all these personal relationships. He said, and then he emphasized, and yes, even your own life. And now what that looks like to an outsider is someone who would choose to die for the sake of someone else, they must hate their self. That's not literally what he meant. He just meant you have to die to yourself and love me more than that so that you are able to then give up your life for the sake of Christ. Think about these very apostles that heard this. Almost every single one of them were called to literally take up their own cross and die for the sake of Christ. Peter was actually crucified like Christ was. He did. He took up his literal cross, crucified upside down. He was not worthy to die the same way his Savior was. But he went to the death. James, beheaded. Thomas, run through with a spear. I go to the Apostle Paul, the apostle born out of time, right? Because he was a little later. Beheaded, gave it all. And he's still doing that today. There are believers all over this world who know very real the call by Christ to carry your own cross. They know that just to name the name of Christ, they are under the threat of death every day. You just go to Nigeria. You don't take that lightly. You know that you are a target of death because you simply carry the name of Christ. You go to the Sudan, you go to North Korea, you go to the Republic of the Congo, and I could name many other places. The threat of death, brothers and sisters, we live here in a cocoon almost, it seems like, so it's hard, but they know. So it's got to be real up front. You can't follow Jesus unless you do take up your own cross because you'll turn away. It has to be a real faith. Now, it doesn't have to be all the way to the death. Some he calls to just suffer for his name's sake. In many of these same places, just to name the name of Christ, right? They have to hate their own life and take their own cross, but they're called, because they're called to the suffering of the cross. They're filling up the afflictions of Christ, which Paul said was a joy for him to do, right? He bore the brand marks of Jesus in his own body. And it was a joy for him to do. Many are called to fill up the afflictions of Christ. They are imprisoned, they are beaten, they are whipped, they are hated. They know what it means to carry their own cross and follow Christ. And if this wasn't real in them, then they're going to turn away. Anybody's going to turn away. Now, in our own context, it's a little harder for us to understand this because we don't live under that threat. Although, I say this and I'm saying it more often because I believe I see it coming. God in His own plan is going to bring on that very kind of persecution to His church here, I believe, and sooner rather than later. Hatred for Christ and those who carry the name of Christ is very real. Charlie Kirk was shot dead for many of the same things that I agree with and would speak. And since that point, the hatred for Christ and the testimony of Christ that was in him has been very well made known by many. So that's why I say, it's coming. It's all by God's sovereign plan. So are you ready? Have you taken up your cross? You who proclaim to follow Jesus, are you ready to lay down your life for him and not turn away? Because it very well could come. We always say, oh, it's not my lifetime. It's coming, but not my. It's coming soon, I believe. But are you ready? But even now, in a much gentler context, it seems, we don't really have that threat right at us every day. It still works its way out, doesn't it, in our discipleship. It still works its way out. As Jesus calls us to follow him, if we really haven't taken up our cross and died to self, and that's what it's about. I don't have rights to myself. I don't have rights to my desires, my plans, my life. No, it's Jesus as I have given it to him. If that's not true in us, Jesus is going to take us places, even our places here. We're going to have to make the choice. And if it's not true that we've died to self, we will choose our life and our plan and our desires and not Christ. And in effect, when we do that, right, when they come up against each other, we have to make that choice of faith. We in effect turn away from Christ. And we don't follow him, we follow ourselves in those cases. Therefore, it has to be true in us, or we can't really follow Jesus, or we can deceive ourselves, right? We just go along living for ourselves and follow Jesus as long as it suits us. But then if it doesn't suit us, well, I'm going to go my way here. You know, when Jesus, as we're following him as Lord, this is what we trust him. We've trusted Jesus. We give him our entire well-being. And therefore, we trust whatever you say, Lord, will go. And if he's Lord, you know, he calls us to submit to authorities he's given over us in this world. Those authorities are actually a reflection of his authority over us and how we respond to it. But you get a real quick assessment of your own heart when the authorities that God's put over you calls for you to go a place you don't want to go. And I'm not talking about when they call you to do something that would be contrary to Christ. No, you got to follow Christ. He's the ultimate authority. But if it's not that and it's just we don't want to go there, I either fear or I think or whatever, then we're in a choice at that moment. Will I follow the Lord here? This is Jesus' directions to me. Or will I go my own way because I know best? It lives its way out in so many ways. Or perhaps there's something in your life that the Lord would be calling you to give up because he's calling you to more holiness and calling you to put away things of the world that keep you from a more devoted discipleship of him. Things that probably aren't sinful in and of themselves, but they're just worldly and they distract you and they take you away from Jesus. When Jesus calls you to that, if you haven't really died to yourself, then when you've got to make that choice, it's Jesus or me, you'll choose you every time. You see why Jesus says you can't be my disciple unless you take up your own cross? Because he's going to take you places where you will not go if you haven't taken up that cross and died to yourself. What about when he just calls us to do hard things? He calls us as his disciples to openly witness of him and proclaim him to other men, does he not? If we haven't died to self, fear of man will take over and we will not obey our Lord. Or when he calls us to self-sacrifice and service of him as Lord and his body. Did you know Jesus says, as you do unto the least of these, he's talking about my brethren in the church, you do it unto me. He calls us to serve him and worship him through loving and serving one another in his church. And that's going to require self-sacrifice to turn away from what I would rather do in order to sacrifice, because it's going to require a lot of you. Did you know that there are 31 one another's in the New Testament that we are called to by God in his word to serve one another, to be hospitable to one another, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, to love one another? I'm not going to give you all 31. But there, you get the point. There are a lot. You can't do that if you're not with one another. You realize that? And to be with one another is going to require sacrifice of your own plans to come into the body and serve Jesus by serving his people. And if we haven't died to self, we will not do that. We will go our own way. Not to mention when he calls us to speak hard things to others. If we're not dead to self, we won't do that. That's what's required, brothers. To follow him means to go where Jesus says go. And he's told us, how do I know where to go? It's his word. It's not some mystical thing. You got, what's your will for me? It's simply his word. Maybe that's the first test. Do I get in his word regularly and wash myself in it to even want to know his will? It takes time. It takes discipline. You got to die to self and seek him. Now, I would ask the question, what in the world would cause a person to follow Jesus like that? What in the world would cause a person to time after time, decision after decision, to choose him over ourselves? Well, there's only one thing, and that's a sincere and great love for him. See, what Jesus is calling here for is a sincere faith that truly loves Christ above all else, because we will always choose our greatest love. And that's why we can't be his disciple unless he is our greatest love, because we will turn away from going after him. And we as his people have that love. Why? Because we've seen his love first. We've seen first the wretchedness of our sin, how worthy we are of the wrath of God because of our sin in his presence. And then in light of that, God by grace sent his son to die on that cross that I just talked about. He took up his own cross to pay the penalty for our sins that we might be given eternal life. We've seen that great love. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in light of that, we have now implanted within us a love for him. And we see him as worthy to follow and go after to the ends of the earth. Why? Because he is the source of life, both eternal. Yes, I have a hope laid up for me in heaven. Since he's my hope, I'm going to go after him wherever he goes. And he's my hope now. He's life now. My hope in my life is not fulfillment of my plans. My plans will lead, there's a way that seems right to a man, and it's destruction. My ways will end to death. Jesus' ways will end. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And we see that, and we believe it. And out of a great love for him, we follow him wherever he says to go. Why? Because he's the object of what we're pursuing. It's the actual person of Jesus, do you understand? Right? Notice he says in that verse, whoever does not carry his own cross and do what? Come after me. That's really what's going to determine it. Are you coming after Jesus or are you coming after yourself? And whatever it is you think is the source of your hope in life, that's not him. It's Jesus, the person of, when you love him, he's the one you go after. It's the If Jesus is really the source of my hope, I'll go wherever he is no matter what. That's why Jesus said, whoever are my disciples will be with me wherever I am, because he's the one we're going after. It's not just words or truths or a plan. It's the person of Christ. And when you know him as the love of your heart and mind, you'll go wherever he goes. And no matter how hard it gets, you still go because there's no hope anywhere else. The disciples gave us that example. Do you remember in John when he started speaking hard things? The crowds, again, they love being around Jesus, love hearing the preaching, love the healings, and love the displays of power. But then when Jesus started talking about hard things, if you want to follow me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he was telling them hard things. And you know what they all started doing? Forget this. I'm out of here. And the crowds left. And he turned to his apostles, the close disciples, and he said, do you all also wish to go? And you know what? Peter, the spokesman, said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Do you see that? Jesus was the hope they had. There's nowhere else. I don't care how hard it is. There's only hope in you. I'll go wherever you say. I'll do whatever you say. Because I'm coming after you. It's the Apostle Paul. He said, I count all things as loss for what? The sake of Christ. But more than this, right? I suffer the loss of all things in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count this but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Did you hear what? I'll suffer the loss of anything if I can get Jesus so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I want a fellowship in his sufferings. Why? Because I get more Jesus in that. Wow, that's faith. That's sold out faith. That's what it looks like to carry your own cross. So it's no wonder, wouldn't it be, brothers and sisters, that in light of that Jesus would say what he did here up front. You need to know that up front before you make a whimsical, emotional, non-sincere decision to follow Jesus, because he's going to take you places that are way too hard to go without real love and faith for Jesus. That's why he said these things up front. Is it real? Do you have a sincere faith? Because this is where you're going to go. That's why he gives these examples, right? The two examples of the man building the tower and the king going and fighting against another king. He said, in these very important decisions in this earthly life, do you not consider up front whether you have what it takes to do what you're getting ready to do? That's all he's saying. It's like, if it's wise to consider up front before you start an important task here on this earth, all these things are fading away and going to perish, be burned up with fire. If it's wise to do it then, would it not be wise before you set off following after Jesus and eternal life to consider, do I really have what's required, which is a real faith and a real love for Jesus to go wherever he says go? I say it's highly important. That's why Jesus says it. I'm going to quote John MacArthur and end this point. John MacArthur says, avoiding temporary false faith demands that sinners honestly assess their motives, examine the genuineness of their repentance, and determine whether they are ready to keep the commitment that Christ demands from his followers. None of those things are human works that can earn salvation. Do you hear that? It's not. None of these things. I preached hard on this last week. These are not works and hoops that Jesus said you got to go through to earn your salvation. They're not. But they are. Salvation is by faith alone. Rather, these are distinguishing marks of true faith, apart from which it is a non-saving delusion. So Jesus is just calling all people to, if you want to follow me, come follow me. There's life. But it's got to be real. You don't want that superficial, shallow faith. Because one, you'll either turn away in the middle of it, or you'll go along in a delusion in places like here where it's just all too comfy. So we must, if we're going to follow Jesus, Jesus requires that we renounce the rights to self. Third one overall, we must renounce all rights to money and possessions in this world. Notice in verse 33, Jesus gives another very clear, absolute statement. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. He said it, not me. What's he mean? Does he mean you literally have to sell everything you have and give it away to the poor before you can begin to name the name of Christ and follow him? Listen, my answer to that is no, but yes. And I'll have to qualify that. What I mean by no is no. He does not require, as you can see from the examples of the Bible, that everybody sell literally everything you've got up front, give it away to the poor, before you think you can follow him. And now, unless he has a special call in your life, there's some people with special calls, missionaries, different places, you got to, right, in order to go where he's telling you to go. So that it's a no in that way. But it is a yes in that you really have to do that in your mind and heart up front. You've got to give all your rights up to the comforts and the material things and the money of this world, and you give that all up to him up front, or why you will not be able to follow him. Why? Because you will love that more than you love him, and when he makes you make a choice, you'll turn away. It's just like every one of these. And it's this way in a couple of ways. If you see it's more than the love of money and the love of the possessions and material things of this world to a greedy kind of love. We all understand that, I think, right? That I got to have that. It comes down to, do you see your well-being and you having enough of the things of this world, money, possessions, for your well-being? Or are you able to give them to Christ and go, you're my well-being. I forsake it all, and whatever you want me to do, I'll do with it, because you are the one I go, you're my life and well-being, not my things in this world and having enough of what I think I need. Do you see that? If you don't, he's going to take you to hard places. You won't. In Hebrews, he talks about you joyously receive the seizure of your possessions. We won't do that. We'll turn away, right? When it's required to, you won't work, you won't eat if you name the name of Christ and don't take this mark, you ain't going to do that unless you've given it all up to him and he's your well-being. That's what we're talking about. And it's also true in this way. Like, you got to give it all up to him up front because it's all his anyway. You're a steward. Everything we have comes from him. We do not, it's not my money. It's never been my money. It's God's money. Everything I have was given to me by him, and we're called to be stewards of what he's given us. And what that means, we do with it what he tells us to do with it. And that's part of following Jesus. If we don't do that up front, we'll never follow him. We'll do with it what I want to do with it, right? Real quick, just a few examples. He calls his people, I believe it's very scriptural. It goes pre-law. It goes all the way back to the patriarchs. You give a tithe to God. That's just a starting point. And if you're not giving up all your position, that's going to be hard to tithe and I can't afford it. It's his. Is it his or is it not? Are you able to follow Jesus in just the beginning of giving? And then, not to mention, as he shows you places of need and people in need and calls for us to be givers generously to those in need, are we going to be able to do that if we're holding on to this is our, I don't know if I have enough for myself, our well-being? Or just giving to kingdom causes. You see how it's just God calls for us to follow Jesus no matter where he goes. And part of following him is doing with what we have in our possession that he's given us whatever he wants. That includes not only money, but all our possessions. What do we really need? Apostle Paul said, as long as I've got food and covering, I am content. Contentment, what's your level of contentment? That is a big gauge of where your heart is with your money and possessions. When you have Christ, you're content because he's what you need. And he's all that you need. Last one. And this is really, I put it as a requirement, but it's really a warning. And I just put it like this. We must keep our flavor till the end. Jesus says, he ends this whole thing. It almost looks out of place, but it's not. At the very end, he says, he starts talking about salt. And what good is it, right? And he begins to warn and caution, if salt loses its taste, what good is it? It's absolutely useless, his point. It's not good for the manure pile or anything. It's cast away. That's a caution to us, beloved, not to lose our saltiness and our taste because we become good for nothing. And you don't want to be seen as good for nothing in Christ's eyes, right? So what do you mean? Well, Jesus calls for us to be what? The salt of the earth. We are to be the flavor and the aroma of Christ wherever we go. How do we do that? By simply following him and doing what he tells us to do. When we begin to openly, by faith, follow him and show openly we love him more than any of our family members by hard decisions we make, when we begin to openly show that we love him more than our money and possessions and we're letting him do with it what he wants, and we give the taste of Christ. When we begin to do things where it's clear that we love him more than ourselves and we'll do things to our own harm because that's what the Lord wants and we trust him, we begin to give the taste of Christ wherever we go. Oh, you're one of them crazy people. You're one of them Jesus freaks, aren't you? Always got to talk about Jesus. You're giving the aroma and taste of Christ wherever you go. And some will love it because it's the aroma or the taste of life. You share it. Others will hate it because every time you talk about that Jesus, you remind me of death. They don't even know why they hate it, but that's what it is. We're called to give the flavor of Christ wherever we go until the end. We don't want to be those who start out and it gets too hard and we turn away. And when we do, guess what? When we start just living like the world and we start choosing loved ones over Christ and we start choosing our possessions and money over Christ and we start choosing ourselves over Christ, you have lost your flavor because you taste just like the world. And in Christ, that's uselessness because the purpose for your salvation is to bring glory to his name. The purpose of all things. And for a true believer, that's what brings you joy. Because that's your purpose. to be a vessel of glory unto the Father in the name of Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we keep our saltiness and our taste to the end so that Jesus gets the glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, I pray that you would use this word to continue to sanctify us as your disciples and call us away from those things that you call us away from so that we can follow you more devotedly. Lord, this isn't going to be perfect in us, that's for sure, as we're going to stumble along the way. But if we're truly yours, then if we look over the course of our life, this will be what will be the steadfastness in. This will be the course, generally speaking. We'll follow you wherever you say go. And we will give flavor and the aroma of Christ, and you'll get the glory. So, Father, increase our faith. Increase our love for Jesus so that we are truly able to go wherever you call us to go, so that you are glorified. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.